Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. Welcome, welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, if you're a worrywart, if you're a person that gets highly stressed very easily, you're going to enjoy this next half hour. I think you're not only going to get a few chuckles, but you're going to get some insight into how you, as a person, can take charge of that worrywart side of yourself and really leap forward into a much more positive framework. I want to welcome to my show today, Dr. Iris Bell, and I have in front of me, Dr. Bell, this absolutely adorable puppy picture that is on the front of your book, Chew on Things, Workbook for Fellow Warriors, and you have the other book, Chew on Things, It Helps You Think. These are words of wisdom from a worried canine, as it was told to you by this delightful character, this furry puppy that's chewing on the side of a tree.
Exactly.
Now, this is Casey.
Yes, it is. Actually, the picture on the workbook is a picture of him as a puppy, and the other one is when he was somewhat older, probably 5 or 6 years old.
Now, you are a recognized psychiatrist. You've got both your medical degree and your PhD degree. You've been a researcher. You've been an educator in the area of complementary and alternative medicine. And it covers so many different areas like biofeedback, homeopathy. You have served on the faculty of Harvard Medical School, University of California, San Francisco, and the University of Arizona. I had the chuckle when I started going through your material. I thought, I wonder how other psychiatrists would look at you and rate you with all this information on this fuzzy character called Casey. This adorable dog. Now, you've got to tell us how Casey came into your life.
Well, I actually was very excited when I first moved to Arizona because it was an opportunity for me to get a longer-term position as a psychiatrist in a university setting. And this was my first chance to actually buy my own home. So I bought the home to have a large fenced-in yard for the dog yet to be named. And proceeded over the next year to be looking for just the right breed and just the right whatever. I have some allergies, so I wanted a breed that didn't shed much, and that's what a soft coat and Wheaton Terrier is like. But I also wanted to be amused. And people said in the various books that I read that Wheaton Terriers not only didn't shed, but they themselves were the clowns of the dog world. And I thought that sounded like a great match. And so I called around until I found reputable breeders. And I can tell you the interview process for getting a dog is worse than doing many other things in life. They put you through the third degree about what kind of a home you're going to provide for this pet. But yeah, it's well worth it because it means they're very careful in how they place their animals.
Of course.
And I found a breeder actually in northern Arizona who had a new litter. And to my utter amazement, actually, she picked out Casey for me, having interviewed me. I, you know, didn't tell her all that much about the work I was doing, but at the very time I first met Casey, I was actually doing research on the effects of personality traits like shyness on health. And lo and behold, I get Casey in the car and we're driving back and he's starting to hyperventilate. And when I got him home, he looked at me out of one eye because he was lying on the tile looking nervous. And I was looking at him being a very nervous first-time mother of a dog. And the two of us started to hyperventilate together, and I thought we were meant for each other.
Oh, my goodness. This would make a great opening scene in a movie, an owner and a brand-new puppy hyperventilating in the kitchen. I mean, this is really great. Your book has wonderful photography, and of course it's all about Casey. And not only is the photography fun, but there's also these comments by Casey. And this is what Casey has told you. And I just, again, getting words of wisdom from a dog for a psychiatrist, I think is just priceless. I absolutely love that. So I think it's marvelous. Now, the book opens up with Casey giving his own personal foreword, saying, some dogs have attitude, some are just goofballs. As a canine, I see myself more along the lines of a soulful fellow. Living life in your own way takes some watching, some worrying, some thinking, and some doing. Now that I've watched, worried, thought, and done things, I want to share what I've learned. And how much of this therapy that you went through with your dog did you use with your patients?
Well, actually, quite a bit. You know, it was really a back and forth blending of
mm-hmm.
what I was learning from my dog. And really watching his behaviors and how he dealt with things and taking from it the very simple and innocent lessons that had some larger truth to them. And then thinking about the people I was working with and how there really was a lot of overlap with a lot of the kinds of issues, but that he could deal with it in an in-the-moment kind of way. That many times we as people can't. You know, even though he did hyperventilate, he could forget about being worried in the next minute because animals tend to live in the moment. And we as people have a big lesson to take out of that kind of behavior. We manage to worry years in the future rather than being in the
boy,
moment.
Oh, boy, is that an understatement.
So we really hope to, you know, what I got out of working, living with Casey and working with my patients was this whole idea, which actually is part of what we sometimes do in psychotherapy with people who are anxious and obsessing about particular issues, is to encourage them to contain their worries in a particular time period at a particular situation and then drop it and then move on. So that's actually how it inspired me to also develop the workbook, which encourages you to journal about your worrying, the things that you're upset about, but then to do what Casey did, which is decide you're going to play ball in the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so to actually go on to the next more positive thing and actually make a commitment to following through and living that way. And each page of the journal, the workbook journal, actually asks you not only to journal about those negative things, but to actually commit to a particular positive thing, which Casey refers to as your next ball.
Yes, and it's just wonderful. Again, I love the photography in this book. For those of you that are just tuning in, we have two here, Chew on Things, It Helps You Think, and then Casey has a workbook for you, and that's this Wheaton Terrier. And, of course, I have a soft spot in my heart for terriers anyway because I own two Scottish terriers.
Uh-huh.
Terriers are amazing, amazing dogs. And then the workbook is Chew on Things, a workbook for fellow worriers. If you know someone who's really shy and has a sense of humor or you wish that they did have a sense of humor, this is something that would make a wonderful, wonderful gift for them. I love the picture of Casey as a puppy when he's on the tiled floor. He's out of his crate. And it says, as I started out as a puppy, I was very nervous. And he talks about rocks and how they bothered him. And he has 2 points. Life has hurdles. Make them as scary as you need to so that you have to do something important to overcome them. But, 2, don't eat your way through them. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So Casey was very philosophical even when he was a puppy. But he got wiser as he got older. And I see a photo in here where you had a gypsy. You were obviously at some carnival or some function because of all the colorful atmosphere that's in the background. And there is Casey right there with this gal, and she's laughing. The joy is just in her face. And
right.
He's right there, and she's scratching him. So if she was a fortune teller, she must have given him a whole new way to look at life.
Oh, she certainly did. This was actually a Humane Society event that I took him to. It was a fundraiser for the local shelter that we have. And during that time, one of the fun parts they had was a tent where someone was being an animal psychic, if you will, a fortune teller.
Mm-hmm.
She was all dressed up like a gypsy with a crystal ball. And she looked at him and she said, "My, my, my, he certainly is very loving." And that was certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always able to overcome his own anxiety about things. very much, again, with you no matter what you were feeling. So if, even if he was feeling scared and he noticed there was something going on with me, he would come over and nudge my hand and be reassuring. That's the other amazing thing about pets, that they really understand at a very deep level their relationship with the their person and what that person needs.
Isn't that an amazing fact about animals? And I've observed it with birds. I've observed it with cats, dogs, even little gerbils.
Yeah.
That become very, very close to the person that owns them. There is that awareness. There is that sensitivity that they have readily available because they've not denied that it's there. And they'll give people their space, or they'll just cuddle up next to you just to let you know that you're not alone and that you're loved.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And, of course, you've got additional photos of how chewing on things helps you think. How did you come to that awareness with Casey?
Well, he, as many puppies do, he had a tendency to chew on things, but he didn't pick small things. He picked big things. So he actually, as you can see from the photos in the book, he actually liked to chew on the side of a Palo Verde tree that was in the backyard. And for some reason, at least until he got very old and he realized what I was up to with my camera, he would almost pose for me. I mean, he'd just keep doing what he was doing, and I could get very close up and get these very adorable pictures of him doing what he was doing. And it, you know, one of the things that animal behaviorists tell you is that chewing on bones, particularly safe products, you know, that aren't going to injure the animal, are very important for dogs to get out their tension. So when I thought about, well, what does it mean if a dog's chewing on something, and how do I translate that for a person? So, that, you know, really the title has multiple meanings, and it really is partly to say, you know, give yourself a chance to give yourself the time to think about what the issue is, but do something that helps release your tension at the same time.
Now, in your book, Chew on Things, It Helps You Think, you have a lot of different quotes. And I like this one by Albert Einstein. It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. And that goes right along with the photograph of Casey with a very handsome-looking pot-bellied pig. And Casey says, there's always someone smarter than you. Just deal with it. And I thought, boy, that's pragmatic.
Yeah, and that was how he did things. This was actually his trainer's pot-bellied pig at the time. And the trainer, of course, being an extremely good behaviorist, had a pig that was better trained than most of the dogs that she was trying to work with. And so she would sometimes bring the pig to model the behavior she wanted the dog to do. And his Casey's first reaction to this was, what is that? And you can see his ears are all the way back. But by the next photo, he figured out that the best way to deal with anybody strange and new is to play with them. And so he got into play position, and he tried to get the pig to play chase with him. I don't remember how successful he was, but it was an adorable picture.
Well, it is. It's absolutely priceless. And I think that the quote that went along with it is just fabulous. You took him to all kinds of places, and apparently from what you've said, there came a time where he wasn't so willing to pose. But you've got this awesome picture of him sitting in front of the piece of art called Being There. I think that's what it is. Anyway, it's this beautiful... No, it's a window.
It's actually a window, and almost everyone who sees the picture thinks it's a painting. But it
yes.
was actually a window at one of the houses, actually the house that I lived in last as he was getting older. And this was just before we moved in.
So it's showing how life is something to be lived, and I'll use your words as you said a moment ago, in the moment, to be able to respond to whatever is around. And I think that's one of the joys of owning a pet, is that they will often have a vibrancy, a wonderful enthusiasm about life, and it's right then and there, whether it's chasing a squirrel or seeing something they've never seen before, or there's a smell, they're there. They're right there. They want to take it all in right in that moment. And then they move on.
Exactly. It's really quite a remarkable thing. And the thing that Casey did, which is different from a lot of animals, not all, but many, is that he loved to spend hours looking out whatever window was available to him at whatever his eye level was.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like he was really watching the world go by, but thinking about what he was seeing. He wasn't just doing what some dogs do, and some of, you know, one of my current dogs is, you know, his life is to watch for something to move quickly so he can just go chase it. And he doesn't look like he's thinking very hard about what's going on. Casey seemed to be processing what he was observing out there.
Now, you've got another Casey type, another Wheaton Terrier, or made friends with someone that had one, because you have photographs in your book of two of these beautiful dogs laying side by side on this big pillow. And I love the quote that you have with this picture. It says, hang with your friends sometimes. It helps to watch and ponder with them, too. And the quote is by Oprah Winfrey. Lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down.
Right.
And I thought that was really quite appropriate and very, very much a neat fit with the photograph that you had there. Who's the companion?
Well, actually, his sister, Rosie, who is several years younger, and Rosie's actually here in the room with me right now, and I'm a bit worried that she's decided it's almost dinner time. So if we suddenly hear a desperate call for food, believe me, she's well fed. But she was a couple of years younger, and I actually got her because at the time I thought I was moving and I was going to be out of the house more, and I wanted him to have a companion. He, of course, never found her particularly interesting except at certain moments like that, and I was so happy to have captured that.
Apparently, Casey, in his explorations, ended up getting bitten by a rattlesnake.
Oh, yes, he did.
And you were in Arizona at the time.
Right.
And, of course, he said he wanted to have some safety tips for those of us that were worry warts. One, do not eat poison mushrooms. They make you very sick. Two, don't mistake a rattlesnake for a new friend. I did. He bit me. I got very, very sick. And three, don't let them dress you up in funny clothes very often. And I had to laugh at that last one because I was sent not too long ago about 40 photos of pets that had been dressed up by their owners for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And it was hysterical. It really, really was. And I thought, how long was the animal patient enough to sit there with all this paraphernalia on them? It's just amazing. But he survived the rattlesnake bite. That's really amazing.
It was a matter of heroism all around. I mean, he was just a real trooper anyway. But he got very sick from it, needed intensive care through a specialty hospital for a number of days, and needed antivenin and all the usual supports with intravenous fluids and all that. And then after that, he still had some residual problems, and I actually got him treated with alternative medicine using homeopathy, where eventually it helped resolve the more chronic problems he developed after the rattlesnake bite. So Western type of veterinary medical care saved his life in the short term, and then the alternative medicine really improved his quality of life in the long term.
When you were dealing with this, because you're the second person I've talked to just actually in the last week that has had animals bitten by rattlesnakes. One was a woman I was talking with last week who had her black lab that was bitten by a rattlesnake, and they live in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
They were up in the mountains, and he was in the wrong place, checking out the wrong thing at the wrong time, and he got bitten. And he was quite sick. You had intensive care. What was the alternative therapy that was used with the animal to help the body go through the relieving of the toxins that the snake's poison puts in there?
Well, there actually are two kinds of things because, again, with my research on alternative medicine, one of my areas of interest is homeopathy, which I got particularly more interested in actually after Casey got sicker like that, and I was looking for stronger ways within alternative medicine to try and get him back on his feet. And so I started to pursue it much more intensively then. There are remedies for animal bites, you know, just sort of puncture wound kinds of things. There are things for nerve damage. There are remedies for intensive bruising, for example. Those all are actually remedies that many people could find even in a health food store. But I also had him evaluated by a homeopathically trained veterinarian who took what they call a constitutional case. So I literally walked around the house describing his usual way of being in the world to her. Mm-hmm. And she used that along with his physical symptoms to pick remedies that helped him recover. So, for example, he was really weak and collapsing, and we gave him a remedy to help with that. And then he was actually starting to make antibodies against his own red blood cells, and we ended up with a remedy for that. And so it was very specific to his situation. And the key to the remedy that really stopped the autoimmune disease for him was actually that he was standing there at dusk, afraid to go out the doggy door that he had always gone out. And it was only at dusk that he was afraid to go out. And that was a symptom of a particular homeopathic remedy, which is actually made from calcium carbonate or oyster shell. And that remedy turned it all around for him. Now, that was a different remedy than what the veterinarian had told me had helped other dogs that she'd worked with who had been bitten by rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very individualized to the particular situation. And here we had a fearful dog who had more of that problem be brought out by the whole experience. And he needed strengthening in his whole being, and that's what the remedy offered him.
So often, there are remedies that are developed for people because of our experimenting with animals, and animals can be helped by, the other way around as well. And I think that the points that you have brought out are so significant because it's very much the same way with people. We're all very different in our body chemistry and the way we respond to medicines, various situations. And boy, if more people were in the medical field that had an attitude like that, I think we would see a lot better results.
Oh, I agree. And I think more and more there are some physicians that are open to putting together what they would call integrative medicine, which is the best of conventional care and the best of alternative care. And especially when you have an emergency, mainstream medical conventional care is really tops at pulling you through if it possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have chronic illnesses, many times the tools that we have in conventional medicine really are not adequate, and they may cover up symptoms or help you feel somewhat better, but they don't really change the course of the illness. There are certain kinds of alternative medicine where it does. And it's so amazing to watch it in an animal because it's a shorter term.
Mm-hmm.
The animal themselves has a shorter lifespan, unfortunately. So you see everything unfold much more quickly than you do in a human being. But it brings out the same kinds of ideas and helps teach us what's possible.
Now, your workbook that you have, Chew on Things Workbook for Fellow Worriers, inspired by KCB, Worrywart, dog tour of philosophy, which I really appreciated. You say Casey taught you something, and that was there was always time to play.
Right.
How did that make a difference in your life with Casey?
Well, I tend to be a workaholic, quite honestly, and especially during the early years I had him, I was on a tenure track faculty position where you just work all the time because you always are trying to do something to be able to make your progress through the promotion and tenure experience in the faculty. And so whenever I was home, and I was home a fair amount because I had protected research time, I would be hard at work at my computer and going through books and reading papers and analyzing data. And invariably, every couple hours, Casey would come over and nudge my hand and say, time to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
If I tried to ignore him and say, no, I'm busy, I'm doing important things, he'd say, no, you're not doing important things, and he'd start barking at me. And he would bark and bark and bark until I put down what I was doing and go out with him and start throwing tennis balls for him. But he wasn't your average retriever kind of dog, so I would have to have a lot of tennis balls with me because he loved to stop the ball like a soccer goalie, but he didn't want to bring it back to me. So I would have 14 tennis balls, and he'd be surrounded by balls, and then he'd just be standing there waiting for me to throw the next one. And we stopped the game when he decided the game was over.
Uh-huh.
So it was, and but it gave me a sense of balance because it brought me out of the reverie I was in where I had lost track of time and I was working too hard and I wasn't moving around and being outdoors, and especially in Arizona there's so much time when it's quite beautiful out here. And you don't want to be indoors hunched over a computer all the time.
Well, and just think about the break that it gave you. It was great for him, but for you, it refreshed you more than likely.
Oh, absolutely. It would, if I was in a rut trying to think about something, it would give me a whole fresh start on thinking about that whole area.
And now, Casey was with you for 14 and a half years. You have his sister, and at this time, what wonderful memories you have put together in this book. And how long did it take you to get the workbook together and do everything that you wanted to do with these wonderful photographs, etc.? How long did it take you to do it?
Oh, boy. That's tough. I started, and literally in a matter of a couple of weeks, I had the beginning of the main book and got the idea for the workbook after I had done the main book. So the whole process probably took me 6 months to a year, depending on how you look at it. You know, mm-hmm. It probably took me 6 months of effort to really pull together the book, and I worked with some professional editors and consultants and so on to really come up with the look and the overall package, the way it was put together as a book. So I had the germ of the idea, but I needed real professionals to help me make it look as nice as it does. And then I did the workbook because I looked at it and I said, well, where do you go from here? You know, what if you're a person and you get these messages from Casey, you understand what kinds of points he was making in this book, then how would you use it in everyday life with things that are stressful for a person? And so that's where the workbook was born. And that didn't take me as long to develop. It probably just took me a couple of months. And then it was a matter, again, of editing and balancing over another period of months, deciding where different quotes went and how I would make the pages look. Again, working with professional consultants in publishing.
Well, if anyone who's listening to this knows a friend that they would like to get a special gift for, it would be great for a birthday, for any special occasion, or even for the holidays that are coming up. This is just charming. It is absolutely wonderful. It's for the worry warts in the world. Either gender, it doesn't make any difference. Do you have a website regarding Chew On Things?
Yes, I do. And actually, the website is www.chewonthings.com. So there's no hyphen or anything. It just says chewonthings.com. And I also have, the book is available on Amazon, but it's also available through an 800 number. And that's 800-214-8110.
Okay, so that's chewonthings.com. And then 800-214-8110. Well, I'll close out quickly here with the quote by Casey B. Worrywart. He's the dog tour of philosophy. Bad hair days come with life. Worry about other things. With bad hair days, you can just wait them out. Eventually, you figure out how to fix it, the hair and the day. And I think that's just delightful. This is a wonderful, wonderful pair of books. And you've got a photo with Casey when he was older, and he says, this getting older business is a challenge. I think they should put a warning label on age. And then there's a quote by Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. Go to Dr. Bell's website, chewonthings.com. That's chewonthings.com. There's also an 800 number of 214-8110. Dr. Bell, this has been a delight. Your books are wonderful, and I wish you well. And Casey has left a legacy that is just what they're just great, absolutely charming.
Oh, thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Again, chewonthings.com or 800-214-8110 to find out more about this wonderful dog, Casey, and how you can get the materials. It makes a fun gift. This is Donna Sebo. Again, thanks to Dr. Iris Bell for being my guest today. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open at this time. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In the U.S. and then in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line for everyone else of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. By the way, if you're a brand new listener to the show, we invite you to call in, if you, anybody for that matter. And all I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and then let me do my thing, and you're welcome after I finish to ask a question about anything or anyone that you desire. People sometimes will say, Donna, what is it that you do? And I said, I literally am reading information. And I consider myself an information resource. And that's very important, because if someone wants to talk with me or interact with me as a counselor, that they understand I'm not a fortune teller type. That's not what I am. This is a mental skill that I have worked with for a number of years. And as a counselor, it has really helped a lot of people. And it's a tool. It's a tool that's meant to empower you as an individual. Speaking of empowering, there are always people out there thinking of ideas. What can we do to make our world more efficient? What can we do to make our environment healthier? What can we do with what we have and make use of it? Well, I came across some information that I thought was fascinating. Our country is importing at this time more than it is exporting. Economically, that has an effect on us, big time. But there is also something else that comes with that. And this would never, ever have crossed my mind in a million years. So when I became aware of it, I went, holy Moses, there is a big problem when you're doing that. Why is that a big problem when you import more than you export? Well, cargo is shipped in these massive containers, these huge containers. And these containers structurally are really, really strong. They have to be because they're on these cargo ships and they're stacked, I don't know how many deep. It's the tonnage of these cargo ships bringing over these equivalents of railroad cars. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, they on average weigh 16 tons. One of those units, 16 tons. So that just gives you a beginning idea of the weight and the wonderful strength of these units. They're steel boxes. For all intents and purposes, that's exactly what they are. Someone came up with the idea to create housing units from them, and I've got pictures of a house. It's absolutely lovely. They call it a cargo texture. Now, there's a company in Seattle called Hybrid that came up with this concept, and they're making it work. What they're doing is creating housing units, and both high-end and also on a less expensive end. So they're making them for just about anybody, and they're roomy. They're 20 by 48 feet in size. They're not that expensive. They're $500 to $2,000 a piece. And they, if you're in a part of the country where you experience hurricanes, fire, or if you have problems with termites, now, what areas would that be relating to? Well, look at Florida, Georgia, and even people in California are finding that this is a very effective, cost-effective way of getting housing, converting these containers into low-cost living quarters. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at these photographs, and they're absolutely awesome. And they're portable. They can be moved to different locations. It is absolutely amazing. And, of course, I'm sure if you wanted to have a window cut into them or whatever, you probably could. But it is somebody's brainchild, and I think it's amazing. What do you think? Using containers like that. Pretty heavy. They say if you live in an area that has hurricanes, this is something that really is going to take and handle. You know, it's really going to survive a lot of those very difficult situations. And more than that, you probably could use more than one if you wanted to create a attached section or have multiple rooms. They probably could do that for you, too. So anyway, the company doing that is Hybrid. That is out of Seattle. Also, people's innovative thinking, there is a Beacon Hill section in Boston, and in that area of Boston, there is a place called the Liberty Hotel. And what they've done, they have taken relics of the past, like bars from prisons, relics of times of the Charles Street Jail. They will take those items and put them into their bar. And they took some other things, like the catwalks and some of the cells, and incorporated them into their decor. And it's just taking off. People love it. They're absolutely amazed. Now, they said this is really a takeoff of how people responded in 1973 when the National Park Service opened up Alcatraz in San Francisco Bay. Now, there is a place in Philadelphia that the Eastern State Penitentiary, they've got the old slammers from Hawaii's Hale Paiheo, and it's just all of these different things. People come up with this stuff, and I just, the brains are out there processing. They are just absolutely amazing. So if you think we've done it all and we possibly can never improve on things, I got news for you. They're out there, people out there thinking every day, and they are coming up with concepts that are making this world a better place. As we become more educated, as we become more attuned to various things that need to be changed, we can make those changes effective. We can deal with them and can make this world a better place. And Americans are known for that. They've always been the ones, because we come from such diverse backgrounds. We have so many different perspectives that are in our potpourri of people. It's absolutely terrific. And I love it. I think it's just absolutely terrific. Speaking of ingenuity, speaking about people taking something that most people would look at and not feel would have very much value, women are starting to come more and more into the forefront of being accomplished in business. And I came across some information regarding the Women's Business Research Group in Washington, D.C., and they did some evaluations, and they said women started doing business where it was actually recorded. Of course, women have always done something along those lines in one form or another, but actual business where you have to record things for taxes, etc. It's been going on since 1905, and there was a Madam C.J. Walker who was credited as being one of the first female entrepreneurs, and she was in the market that dealt with hair care products. However, that being a product line that you would assume a woman would be interested in, things are changing. Traditionally, women started service businesses, things like home office organizing, or they were in marketing in some way. However, they say things are changing dramatically. The fastest growth in women-owned firms came from totally non-traditional industries such as construction, 30% increase of women in that, transportation, communications, and public utilities, 28% increase of women, and agricultural services, 24%. Now, someone may wonder, why would women want to go into these areas? Well, I think women have often had an interest in these areas. I've known of women that wanted to be plumbers, women that have wanted to be involved in building, women that have been inventors, all kinds of things. Now, the reason this is changing is because financing finally has been opening up for women. And that's very important in those businesses that require a lot of capital investment. More women are applying for and obtaining Small Business Administration loans, the SBA loans, and also they have different programs at the SBA, one of them being getting money used for getting working capital and certified development company programs, which loans funds to buy or rehabilitate fixed assets such as land, buildings, machinery, and equipment. Do you know that the SBA says that women received 39% more SBA loans in 2005 than in 2004 for a total of $3.4 billion, and that was up 27%. Also, they said companies from PepsiCo to the United Airlines have programs designed where they want to attract women into their businesses. And this is a great way to get started. It gets you into the door. However, you have to be aware of something. Sharon Hedery, she was the executive director for Women's Business Research Center, said, if you've got products, services you want to offer, if you can't sell on price and quality, you're not going to get the contract. About 85% of female entrepreneurs that were surveyed by Sharon Hattery's organization, the Business Women's Business Research Center, said they did not feel that being a woman in a non-traditional field was a disadvantage. In fact, one-third of these women that were interviewed said it helped quite a bit. And as far as the women were concerned, they felt like there had never been a better time to break into a male-dominated field. Wow, have times changed. But I want to do a flip side of the coin. There are areas of industry that have typically been dominated by women. Take nursing. That is a field for women. Secretarial work, women. There were many areas that they were just as discriminating about letting a man into. Now, those barriers are not there. And it is so important that we get past this gender-specific stuff. Because in my mind's view, if someone's qualified to do a job, they're qualified to do a job. Who cares whether they're male or female? You want the best person you can possibly hire. And that should be what is first and foremost, and not any gender discrimination at all. That's Donna on her soapbox for a moment. We're going to be taking a break. Phone lines are open, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-815-9756 if you're Canadian, also 530-876-3222. We're going to come back in just a moment. I'll share some emails with you that were sent to me, and I want to thank some folks for doing that. But we'll come back in just a moment, and I'll get that information to you. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. And I wanted to share with you a cute little, well, what do I want to call it? It's not a poem. Insights. That's what I'll call it. These are insights. Came from Maxine, and she said, Donna, I think that you'll enjoy this. She said, at age 4, success is not peeing in your pants. At age 12, success is having friends. At age 17, success is having a driver's license. At age 35, success is having money. At age 50, success is having money. At age 70, success is having a driver's license. At age 75, success is having friends. At age 80, success is not peeing in your pants. That's just what just did it for me. Oh, as the circle spins, yes, you start off with one direction. It seems like you end up with it there. At least that's what she felt. Anyway, moving along, because this is Thanksgiving week, I wanted to share something that was sent by Gail. This is National Friendship and Family Week, and she said, I just thought you might enjoy this, and I wanted to share it with you, and maybe your listeners would like it as well. This is how it reads. Too many people put off something that brings them joy just because they haven't thought about it, don't have it on their schedule, didn't know it was coming, or are too rigid to depart from their routine. I got to thinking one day about all those people on the Titanic who passed up dessert at dinner that fateful night in an effort to cut back. From then on, I've tried to be a little more flexible. How many women out there will eat at home because their husband didn't suggest going out to dinner until after something had been thawed? Does the word refrigeration mean nothing to you? How often have your kids dropped in to talk and sat in silence while you watch Jeopardy on television? I cannot count the times I called my sister and said, how about going to lunch in a half hour? She would gas up and stammer, I can't. I have clothes on the line. My hair is dirty. I wish I'd known yesterday. I had a late breakfast. It looks like rain. And her personal favorite was, it's Monday. Now, my sister died a few years ago. We never did have that lunch together. Because we seem to cram so much into our lives, we tend to schedule our headaches. We live on a sparse diet of promises we make to ourselves when all the conditions are perfect. We'll go back and visit the grandparents when we get Steve toilet trained. We'll entertain when we replace the living room carpet. We'll go on a second honeymoon when we get two more kids out of college. Life has a way of accelerating as one gets older, the days get shorter, and a list of promises to ourselves get longer. One morning we'll awaken and all we have to show for our lives is a litany of I'm going to, I plan on, and someday when things are settled down a bit. When anyone calls my seize-of-the-moment friend, she's open to adventure and available for trips. She keeps an open mind on new ideas. Her enthusiasm for life is contagious. You talk with her for 5 minutes and you're ready to trade your bad feet for a pair of rollerblades and skip an elevator for a bungee cord. My lips hadn't touched ice cream for 10 years. I love ice cream. It's just that I might as well apply it directly to my stomach with a spatula and eliminate the digestive process. The other day, I decided I was going to change things. I stopped the car and I bought a triple-decker cone. If my car had hit an iceberg on the way home, I would have died happy. Now, go on and have a nice day. Do something you want to, not something on your should-do list. You were going to die and had only one phone call you could make. Who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? And Gail said, make sure you read this to the end. You'll understand why I send this to you. Have you ever watched kids playing on a merry-go-round or listened to the rain lapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? Do you run through each day on the fly when you ask, how are you? Do you take time to listen to the reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? Ever told your child, we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch? Let a good friendship die? Just give him a call. Say hi. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life isn't a race. Take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over. It's National Friendship and Family Week. Show your friends how much you care. Send this to everyone. Share this with everyone you consider a friend. To those that I've sent this to, I want you to know I cherish our friendship and I appreciate all of you. Life may not be the party we hope for, but while we're here, we might as well dance for Thanksgiving. But I think those are words of wisdom that we could share and we can grow from, because it is important. You know, we were talking earlier about animals when we were discussing the book by Casey, The Wheaton Terrier. And I think that animals do have that special aspect of living in a moment. And if we can take that ourselves and appreciate it, I know, goodness gracious, sometimes I get so busy that I'll even forget to do that. And I'll have to stay present. I'll have to say, I have to do it right now. Because it does. The time goes by so quickly. No matter who I seem to talk to anymore, what their age is, they're pretty much always saying the same thing. It's going by so fast. How is it that we're into the holiday season already? It seems like it was just here. When you're hearing this from people in their 20s, something's really changing. It used to be you'd only hear them from the grandmas and grandpas of life, but that's not the case anymore. And it just, there's just this pace. When I watch, every once in a while, I'll see pictures of the old Andy Griffith program where he was the sheriff and he would go fishing with his son and they would amble along. And there was perhaps a little bit of a different style of life. There was time for kids maybe to sit on the back porch and just be in a quiet mode or to go out and chase butterflies and investigate bugs. But there is this dynamic pattern to life today. And it's a fascinating phenomenon to watch. And because this is a Thanksgiving week, that's something we really should do, is show our Thanksgiving and demonstrate it. If nothing else, just do it for yourself. Get out a book and journal. Get out some paper. And just maybe make it an exercise of what you're grateful for. Someone had a suggestion of starting a family tradition. Have a tablecloth and have some indelible ink pens and have people write who maybe are your guests what you're grateful for. Have the kids write what are they grateful for on that tablecloth and put it down so that they can all do it, and then every year put it on the table and ask whatever new blessings they're grateful for in their life. And then it's fun. You've got something here that you can read every year, new idea, new concept that someone had shared with me. Well, I know we're out of time. Thank you for being with me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking with a wonderful woman Dorothy Benninger. We're going to be talking about the senior organizers, something if you have senior members in your family or friends that everybody can use. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.